I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Some people say there is no God up in the heavens. They say he did not send his son for us to die. They mock his name, and to their shame they live without him. But I believe in God, and I can tell you why. His hand created all the stars and light the heavens. His tender touch brought forth the beauty of a rose. His love so free he gave to me, that's why I praise him.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon Singers, for opening today's program with that thrilling song of testimony. And thank you, my friend, for tuning in for today's edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm delighted to have you join me as we look into the Word of God together. You know, we're just over 2 months into 2019, and as we look into the future and think about what lies ahead, we need hope. There's so much turmoil and uncertainty in our world, so much violence and hatred and strife, so much despair and hopelessness. But you know, praise God, if you know Jesus, if your God is real like mine is, then there's hope. And not only is there hope, there's excitement and anticipation. Do you know what causes that excitement and anticipation for me? It's God's promises. I know God has never made a promise He doesn't intend to keep. We have His promise that where sin abounds, grace superabounds. You know, I believe we can expect some powerful manifestations of that promise in this year of 2019. And my friend, I urge you to be a part of what God is doing. Now, in just a few moments, we'll begin our study of the Word. But before we do that, let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus, our mediator. We thank you that His death on the cross made it possible for us to come with confidence into your presence. And you've made it clear in your word that you want to give us the things that will build our relationship with you. So we come, asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on us and on the teaching of your word. Guard us from error and lead us into the truth as we examine this text together. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I want to travel to a place I've never been before, I hook up my trusty Garmin GPS. I enter the address of my destination, and then the satellite and the software figure out the best route for me to take. It shows me the actual mileage, and it estimates how much time it will take for me to drive from where I am to my destination. Along with the directions, I can choose other options: the shortest route, the fastest route, overview maps, step-by-step maps, and more. Whenever we travel, there are multiple ways to get there. We like choices, don't we? Multiple options. But you know, there's a danger in becoming accustomed to those options, that we transfer that kind of thinking over to spiritual matters. There's a common perception in our culture, and even in organized religion, that there are a variety of ways that one can take to find acceptance with God. But we who accept the Bible as the Word of God know there is only one way to God, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in today's study, we'll look at another subject that's often misunderstood. It's honor. Our culture has a different definition for this word than we followers of Jesus do. At least they have a different perspective on how we attain honor. That perspective has an influence on you and me. Our text today is James chapter 4 and verses 7 through 12. In keeping with our opening illustration and in harmony with the text, I've titled the message, The Road to Honor. These verses from James chapter 4 and verses 7 to 12 give us the directions. So listen now as I read that scripture text. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? As we travel the highways of our country, signs by the side of the road or overhead give us direction for our travel. Reflecting on this text, we observe several signposts that direct us along the road to honor. The first signpost on the road to honor that I see here is yield. The triangular red and white sign with the word yield is a very familiar sight to anyone who's ever traveled on an interstate or a four-lane highway. Today, it seems many drivers don't know what that sign means, or at least they don't know how to obey it. But that's not our subject. You see, yielding isn't a popular concept in our society today. I'm old enough to notice how changes in our culture have caused changes in the way people drive. A yield sign on the entrance ramp to a highway once meant that you needed to adjust your speed to ease in with the flow of traffic that was already out there in the main flow of the highway. Today, many drivers expect those who are already in the flow of traffic to adjust to them as they come on the entrance ramp. You know, I've gotten more than one dirty look for maintaining my speed and my lane position while I'm passing an entrance ramp. James gets us started on the road to honor with this concept, yield. Actually, he uses the word submit, and that's a word that's even more disliked than the word yield. He says, therefore, submit to God. Notice the word therefore. It takes us to the previous verse, which says this, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Resisting God is a losing proposition. Submitting to God means we yield to His control. We obey His commands. We make our desires subordinate to His. We find success in learning His wishes and then doing our best to fulfill them. Now that certainly isn't the formula our culture would approve to travel the road of honor. No, their way is found in the earlier verses of this chapter. They push and shove, step on people, fight your way to the top. And you know, unfortunately, it's the way of too many who profess to follow Christ. Why is it that we find it so difficult to submit to God and so easy to follow the cultural practice of putting ourselves first? Well, for one reason, it's our nature, our sinful human nature. And just because we receive the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, our fleshly habits and thought patterns don't just fall away like the leaves from a tree in the autumn of the year. Learning how to yield to God and accepting the Lordship of Jesus Christ is a process. And that's why we need the second part of this verse. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Satan knows how to appeal to our fleshly desires. Now, submit and resist are both words of action. Neither of them is easy or natural, unless, of course, we reverse them. In our fallenness, we find it easy to resist God's command and yield to Satan's temptations. But James tells us it must be the other way around. And in my experience, that takes discipline. And that discipline is an expression of the genuineness of your faith and mine. And then our difficulty is further complicated because we don't have a proper understanding of what honor really is. Our dictionaries define honor as a good name or reputation, one whose worth brings them respect or fame, or a person of superior standing. All of these play into the idea that if we just push our way to the top of the economic or corporate or social ladder, then we'll have honor. But do you know the path to honor the Bible lays out for followers of Jesus? Proverbs 18:12 tells us, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Jesus' disciples got into a discussion one time about who would receive the position of honor. Do you remember what Jesus said to them? Whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's Matthew 20:26-28. A servant doesn't have his own agenda. His desire is to find out what the master wants, and then use all his energies to accomplish it. If you and I are going to make any progress on the road to honor, the first signpost we will need to obey is the command to yield. Yield to God. The second signpost on the road to honor is merge. This one is closely related to the first one. You'll see both of these, especially in the area of entrance ramps. Road construction on major highways is often announced by large electronic signs that are flashing a warning. When there are lane closings, the sign will flash a message, like, use both lanes to the merge point. And then when you get closer to the lane closing, another sign is posted that says, Merge here. Take your turn. In order to merge or join in the flow of traffic, you have to know how to yield. James states it this way, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." This is where we get the signpost of merging. To merge means to join one thing to another. Merging also means you're no longer outside the mainstream. You're now part of the larger group. When there's a merging of companies in the corporate world, generally, one company yields or gives up its identity. The two entities become one and are known by a single name. Now, how does this concept of merging work as we follow the road to honor? The second part of verse 8 provides the practical applications that begin with cleansing. Since James is writing to Christians, I don't believe the cleansing of salvation is in view here. That has already taken place. What James is speaking about is the kind of cleansing that Jesus was talking about when he told Peter, "The one who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is clean in every way." It's the ongoing cleansing of the blood of Christ that permits us to have continual fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9 tells us, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And this cleansing specifically mentions the hands. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners." If you look up this word "hands" in Strong's Greek Dictionary, it mentions the idea of hollowness, for grasping. That's true, that's what we use our hands for, to grasp things. But you know, our hands don't control themselves, they're controlled by our mind and our will. I see in this command a reference to our motives. If we are truly going to become one with our Lord, to merge with Him on the road to honor, we need to bring our motives into line with His. The psalmist states this so well in Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5. He asks the question, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol or sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." You talk about honor? That's the kind I want. Then the final part of verse 8 is, "Purify your hearts, you double-minded." If we want to merge with Christ on the road to honor, we need to get rid of the things that cause us to have a divided allegiance. Remember when Elijah confronted the children of Israel and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he said, "How long do you halt or vacillate between two opinions?" They were trying to have it both ways. They were trying to serve God and serve Baal at the same time. And that's where many professing Christ followers are today. They're double-minded. They're trying to serve Jesus, and yet they're trying to follow the world. It won't work. James says, if we're going to merge with our Lord and Savior, we need to get off the fence and allow His Spirit to clean out the worldly junk at the core of who we are. We've got to lay down our plans and fit ourselves into His plans for us. If we don't, we'll find ourselves right back in the first four verses of this chapter. Well, the next sign on the road to honor then is U-turn. You've probably noticed in driving that you see more signs that say no U-turns than ones that read U-turns permitted. But there are some of them out there. Maybe you wonder where U-turns are mentioned in this text. Well, look at verses 9 and 10. What do the actions listed in verse 9 call to mind? What do you call it when you humble yourself in the presence of the Lord with mourning and tears and sorrow? The first word that comes to my mind is repent. And what does it mean to repent? It means to make a U-turn. You're going the wrong way, now you turn and go the opposite way, the right way. And how we need the spirit of repentance in the church today. You know, so much of modern worship is loud music and shouting and emotional highs, and that's not all wrong. But where is the mourning for the blatant, in-your-face disregard for God's commands by those who claim His name? Where's the weeping over lost opportunities and resources that have been squandered on making ourselves feel good and look good in the eyes of the world? Where's the sadness that comes from the realization that our lifestyle choices have crucified the Lord Jesus afresh and put him to shame before unbelievers? I know that message isn't popular, but it is the Word of God, isn't it? Did you notice verse 10? The road to honor leads through humility, through repentance. Why is that true? Because it's only when we see ourselves as God sees us that we can be truly honored by Him. I know this is totally opposite from what we think is logical, but it's biblical. Those in the world pursue the logical way, and it leads to their own destruction. Their honor is only temporary. Once dead and gone, most of them are soon forgotten. But what about the righteous ones who choose God's road to honor? Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." That's the kind of honor I want. How about you? And then there's a final signpost on the road to honor. It is caution. This is a word of warning. Go slow. Be careful. Verses 11 and 12 contain a warning for us as we continue traveling on the road to honor. You see, in our humanity, we're tempted to think we can gain honor at the expense of someone else. We have this mistaken idea that bringing someone down will lift us up. In these two final verses of our text, James dispels that notion. He cautions us not to fall for this error because of the serious implications that arise. Isn't it interesting how we often want to pass judgment on someone for the very thing we struggle with in our own lives? If we pronounce judgment on our brother or sister, we're putting ourselves in a place of authority that doesn't belong to us. We're taking the place of God. And James asks, "Who are you to put yourself in the position of judge?" God only is able to know fully the thoughts and motives of our brother's heart. Now, does that mean we can't confront a brother or sister when we see sin in their lives? Of course not. But it is the spirit in which we approach them that makes the difference. If we want to restore them, which is the biblical goal, we don't speak in judgment. We speak in love and sincerity. We appeal to them. We're not trying to gain position for ourselves by putting them in a negative light. We're attempting to restore them to their position in Christ. You know, I've observed that being a peacemaker will not win you many friends. People on either side of the issue will accuse you of taking sides. You may be vilified instead of being honored. But when you and I humbly do what we can to promote reconciliation in the right spirit, God will honor that. And that's the honor that really matters. Now that we've looked at these signposts on the road to honor, each of us has a choice to make. We can continue to seek honor the way the world does, by ignoring these signposts and putting ourselves forward. Or we can seek honor God's way, by following these signposts, humbling ourselves before Him, and allowing Him to bring honor to us in His time. Which road to honor will you choose?
The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Keep silence. Keep silence. And He will lift you up.
My friend, has today's program challenged or encouraged you? If it has, we'd like to hear from you, because we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. Now, there are several ways you can contact us. You can send an email to us at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can also visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching when it's convenient for you. And we also invite you to visit our Facebook page to see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or to read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching at your convenience. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Now, I'll look for you next week. Lord willing, we'll open the Word of God and study it together. So tune in and invite your friends to listen too. And until we meet again,
oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the dearest of